This morning, Gospel of John, the Sunday school time, we're going to look at prophecy. I got saved as a policeman in Kansas City, Missouri. Before I got saved, I'm just real frank with you, as a policeman, I always worked in the high crime rate area, chasing down the bad guys. And I was convinced, as a lost guy, that this was a runaway stagecoach called life. Nobody was in charge. And it just seemed like you just threw everything up in the air and it was going to fall however it fell. Then I got saved and started reading the scripture, and I was absolutely shocked and amazed that somebody is in charge. That we use words like accident. Really, is there such a thing as an accident with God? You see what I'm saying? So all of a sudden I was introduced to prophecy, and I was just so excited about understanding finally that someone was in charge, and you could actually know where this whole thing was going. Does this make sense to you? So you're in John, and Jesus told his disciples, John chapter 14 is where I would like for you to be. And in verse 29, now the setting is he's told his disciples that he's going to be crucified and raised the third day. But the principle here can be also applied to prophecy. So we're in John chapter 14, and look with me what it says in verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Ah. See, what you have with you this morning is the only book on the planet, pick up on this, that tells you prophetically what's going to happen before it happens. Have you heard of any of our leaders on the planet talking about World War III lately? How many of you heard that? Isn't it crazy? I mean, I've spent my whole entire life and nobody's talked about World War III until here just recently. Now, biblically, in Sunday school here this morning, so what I'd like for us to cover is this. And it concerns me. You know, we have four children, 13 grandchildren, and six now. We count them at conception, amen? So we got one of our granddaughter-in-laws are pregnant. So what concerns me is, now, back in my day, years ago, we had military draft. How many of you men know what that's all about? So they didn't suggest that you come serve in the military. They said, no, you're coming. And but we haven't had that all these years. But guess what? Countries now, like stuff that's going on over there in Russia and Ukraine, Ukraine is drafting men, catch this, from 16 years old to 60. So the war drums are beating, and what we're seeing now is a movement among our leaders to World War III. Now, biblically, you have to understand that we have to have three world wars. So I would like to take you to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, if you would, please. Ezekiel chapter 36. And let's start there. All of life is the fulfillment of Scripture. The bottom line is, if you want to be successful as an individual or as a family structure or as a business or as a church, then you must come to the conclusion that success is dependent on whether or not we obey what the Scripture has to say. The further we have gotten away in America, the further we've gotten away from Scripture. See, I remember so I was raised in a lost family, so we never went to church. But in school, public school, some of you old people can remember this, we always started the day by pledging allegiance to the American flag, and then our public school teacher would say, okay, now here's section from the Bible that we're going to read today. They would read it, and then she would say, are there any prayer requests? And it might be kind of like in a Baptist church, you know, that's how you get the gossip figured out, you know, what family's doing what and what's happening at home. So us little kids would raise our hand, because why? We believe there was a God. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Now, do you see where we are today? 62-3, we kicked God, prayer, Bible reading out of the public arena. What a shame. Now, when you do that, you're just headed down, 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 down. So, three world wars. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 36, I want to start in verse 16. And can I kind of give you an overview of what we're going to read, and then we'll come back and read it? So, this is prophecy, prophecy about Israel. I don't know if you realize it or not, but since God invented marriage, how many of you know he invented that? So since he invented that first institution, he actually wants to step into that role, and he has a wife. God has a wife. Who is God's wife? Well, actually, God's wife is Israel. Now, God had a son, Jesus, only begotten son. He has a wife. Who's that wife? The church. Now, do you realize that Satan always tries to copy and counterfeit what God has established so he can draw people away from the truths from the Bible, so he can get you out here off the freeway onto the old gravel roads so you can get lost and stay there. But he has a wife. Who's his wife? The book of the Revelation says it's the whore church. It's that false church that's being gathered. Okay, does that make sense? So with that in mind, God's prophecy here is about Israel, and so it's a personal thing with him. And he tells us that Israel is going to get into sin, violate his laws, and as a judgment, they will be scattered all across the planet. But since God loves the Jewish people, that one day he's going to bring them back to their promise that he made a long time ago. You're my people, I'm giving you this land. Now, how many of you know the stuff that's going on right now in Israel with Hamas and the terrorists and stuff? Church, now listen to me. You need to keep up on this. I'm telling you, prophecy and end time stuff is happening just like that. I always like to look at it this way. You take an hourglass, you flip it upside down, you watch the sun, the sand run down, and you say, it's going to take a long time for all that sand to run down this little bitty hole. Until it gets close to the end, then you know what happens? And all of a sudden, at the blink of an eye, it's over. Now that's where we are. See, we're in the last days. I personally think we're in the last part of the last days. And I know as Christians, we've kind of settled into smooth little life, and we've got our nice little house, and everything's fixed up, and we're comfy. Okay, but that kind of qualifies us for the last day Laodicean church, where everything's real comfy, and we don't want to cause any wrinkles or create any problems because we're comfy. And God's going to have to shake us up in these last days. Okay, is everybody on the bus? See where we're headed? Okay, why do we have to have three world wars? Okay, verse 16. This was the prophecy. Ezekiel 36:16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, me, Ezekiel the prophet, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the unclean of a removed woman, a menstruous woman. Verse 18. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. By the way, the greatest blood that the Jewish people shed on the land was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting God's Son when he sent them. Okay, keep reading. Verse 19, and as a result of that, I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries, according to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. So, when God sent his Son to the Jewish nation, and they rejected him, crucified him, catch this, he waited patiently for 40 long years for them to repent. They didn't repent. They did not repent. And in 70 AD, God sent a Gentile commander by the name of Titus into Jerusalem. He besieged Jerusalem. He set everything on fire, including the temple on fire, which really fulfilled the prophecy that Jesus gave. I've got it written here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 2. The disciples were taking Jesus of a tour of the temple and how magnificent it was. And he said this, "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And they scratched their head. Well, we've just got this thing built. What do you mean? Now here, so when the temple was set on fire by General Titus, by the way, on the inside it was overlaid in gold. So it melted the gold. The gold ran into the cracks of these big massive blocks. And the soldiers, to get the gold, guess what they did? They knocked every stone off of another one. Does that make sense? So God waited 40 years for Israel to repent that they had crucified. Get back to the scriptures and look, you have crucified your Messiah, the one you've been waiting for. And they didn't repent. As a result, God, through Gentile nations, scattered them. They lost their homeland. They lost everything. And now for generations, they were living in Germany, Russia, Yugoslavia, all over the place, raising families and businesses, and they lost their temple, they lost their worship, they lost their homeland. So, how are we going to get that back? Well, World War I. By the way, all prophecy is really about Israel. Does that make sense to you? So when you're reading in the scripture about Israel, and it says that the land from the north is going to attack Israel, you can't think, because we live in America, that it's Canada. You've got to get right over there in Israel as if you live there and all the directions are from there. Does that make sense? So World War I was quite a challenging war. The friendly forces against the evil forces. And so, you know what happened back then? A couple little nations started scuffling, and one assassinated the other's president and his wife, and then all of a sudden, the small countries, the ones they were trading with and buying and selling with, then all these other nations started having to take sides. Russia took sides with this one nation. Germany took sides with another, this other little nation, and pretty soon everybody had to figure out whose side they're on. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's what's happening right here, right now, today. So World War I broke up. Now the friendly forces were losing because it takes wood alcohol to make acetone, which is used for explosives, bombs. Bullets. And so we were losing because we couldn't get enough acetone. A Jewish chemist by the name of Kim Wiseman went into the lab and came up with a different kind of from starch. he was able to produce acetone, which actually put the friendly forces back into the war. See? Now keep that in mind. Two things happened. That was one of them. Then there was a second thing that happened, very important in World War I. So a British commander by the name of Henry Edmund Allenby was commissioned in that war, kind of like a general, to go in and take over the Holy Land area where the Jews used to live. And his job was, but he was a Christian. He was raised as a Christian. Now, I've got this little prayer that his parents taught him. Listen to how they taught him to pray as a little kid growing up. Now, you know, we hear some of our kids, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." What's that? How's the rest of it go? "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Okay. Well, this was much more biblical. Can I be real frank with you? Here was his prayer that they taught him. Here's a little kid growing up in a Christian home from England. Here's what he prayed. "Forget not thine ancient people," the Jews. Catch this. "Hasten the day when they shall be restored to thy favor and to their land." What? Man, that mom and dad had a handle on some prophecy. They understood the big picture in Scripture. Does this make sense to you? So he prayed that growing up, so he had an understanding of how Israel fit in the whole context of prophecy and who Israel was to God. So he was commissioned to go in and take over the Holy Land area. The Muslim Islamic people controlled the whole entire Holy Land area. So he didn't want to destroy those special things. By the way, anybody here been to the Holy Land? Okay, yes. Well, remember, gracious, you could actually walk right down the street where Jesus walked and where he carried the cross. You could see where he was buried. And so General Allenby didn't want all the destruction of all these special places there. So he prayed and asked God, "How do I take this back from the Turks, the Muslims?" By the way, the Muslims today, same Muslims back there. It's just several more generations of kids. "Well, how do I take this without destroying all these special things?" And God gave him a special insight. Now, I want you to go there with me. Here's what he read. Before he went in, he read this in Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 31. Now, we're still talking about World War I. Isaiah chapter 31. Verse 5, he read this, and you know what it's like. You'll read Scripture, and all of a sudden one verse just leaps off the page at you. Here it was. The Bible says, Isaiah 31, 5, "As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also will he deliver it, and passing over he will preserve it." And all of a sudden the Spirit of God gave General Allenby this thought. "Ah, here's what I'm going to do." So here's what he did. Now you have to understand that World War I, they had a lot of military equipment, but one of the newest things that nobody really had used before were airplanes. So he got on the printing press, had a bunch of flyers printed up, thousands. And it's basically said in the Arabic tongue, translation from English to Arabic, "Give up, surrender, lay down your weapons," signed General Allenby. So all of a sudden, these Turks, the Muslims, they saw something they'd never seen before. Planes like birds flying low over the Holy Land area, dropping out these little leaflets. And they start picking them up. "Surrender, lay down your weapons, give up," signed, and in the translation, it was a little bit of a twist. They read it signed Allenby instead of Allenby. Allenby was their prophet of, quote, their living God. And so they thought, they saw these planes, never seen that before. The leaflet said, give up, lay down your weapons, and signed their prophet. Guess what they did? They gave up. They laid down their weapons. They walked out. So General Allenby, catch this now, this is amazing. How many think God has a sense of humor? My word. So General Allenby walked in, captured the whole entire area without hardly a struggle at all. Now, okay. Now, so keep this in mind. Now, I want you to just pause here from prophecy for a second and go with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, I want you to go with me at chapter, 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you know we're made of three parts? Physical body, and in the physical body you've got a soul, how you're thinking, how you're feeling, choices you're making. And then you've got the spirit that we communicate with God with. Now, that's a triunity. If you think about this for a second, in the temple of the Jewish people, they had the outer court, kind of pretty much everybody could be there. And then they had the inner court, only certain people. And then they had the Holy of Holies. That was the priest communicating with the living God. And remember the Apostle Paul when he was stoned one time, stoned to death, and he said he was caught into the third heaven. Well, the third heaven is the abode of God. Then you've got the ionosphere, the heavens, space, and then you've got the atmosphere. So this triune threefold thing, it's the same way with World War I. Body, soul, and spirit. At the end of World War I, the friendly forces won. They went to this Jewish chemist and they said, you have virtually won the war for us. So we would like to give you anything you would like. And he said, I would like a homeland for my people. The Jewish people. They said, done. Balfour Declaration, they signed over, catch this, the Holy Land area to the Jewish people. Now, the World War I got the land for the Jewish people. But the Jewish people weren't interested in going back to their land. Why? Well, they had families, they had raised families and businesses, financial. How many know the Jewish people know how to handle money? So they were in charge of all kinds of financial things. And there was no motivation for them to leave and go back to their land. Ah, World War II. Body, soul. How do you get the soul back into the body? World War II. Now you tell me, what happened in World War II? Excuse me? Hitler, yes, right on target. Okay. So, good guy or bad guy? Did he like the Jews or not like the Jews? Hated the Jews? Okay, now pick up on this. So all of a sudden, you've got this, I think, demon-possessed commander of Germany and his allies trying to wipe out God's chosen people. As a result, millions were, we were over in Germany and we saw the camps where they would gas them and murder them and then burn them in their bodies in the big factories belching out human stench. So what happened was the Jewish people all of a sudden, under this enormous persecution, there was a cry that went up among the Jewish people. Isn't there some place we can go and live in peace? Ah, hear me now. World War I got the land back for the people. World War II motivated the people to go back to their land. Isn't that amazing? It took a whole world war
Two.
Now, those of us that were in public school learning history, were you ever taught that, by the way? No. See? You just look at it from the human viewpoint, and that's a big, huge mistake. You've got to look at it from the divine, prophetic viewpoint. Okay, now why do we think we have to have World War III? Back to Ezekiel, please. Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm sorry, brother. Time-wise, am I? Okay. Did you ever think you could crowd three world wars in Sunday school class? So Ezekiel chapter 36. Now I want to start a reading here in verse 20. So verses 16 through 19, God scattered them throughout the countries. Verse 20. And when they entered into the heathen, scattered all over the place, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, which are gone forth out of the land. But I had pity for my holy name. By the way, aren't you glad? Grace is something from God and not something we earn or anything. So God had pity for his promise with Abraham, that his covenant that he made, you are my people. So he had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into my land. Now here's the most powerful, by the way, it's like 2,500 years ago that was prophesied. Wow. The remarkable thing was, now catch this, it's happened in our lifetime. I was 4 years old when this happened. May the 14th, 1948, for the first time in history, Israel was recognized as a nation. I mean, we saw that prophecy fulfilled. That very thing we just read. He said, it's coming time. I'm going to bring you back into your land. Oh, it happened with us. Or with us old people. I mean, think about that. We saw it. Now, I had no clue what was going on as a four-year-old kid. But now I'm looking back and I'm thinking, oh, my word. So that part of the prophecy was fulfilled right here in my generation. See? Now, here's where I'm going with this. So, the Jewish people, when I was over there, we got on this big, huge plane, flew over, and a lot of Hebrew priests and stuff on there, little curly thing in their hat. So we got 36,000 feet in the air, and all of a sudden, everybody gets up and starts walking around. They open up the hatches. They pull out guitars. Two or three guitars. I mean, this is a plane. It looked like it was about as wide as this whole thing here. And so they started strumming. You know, if you ever heard the Jewish music, it's got its own little sound and beat and stuff. And they started in the Hebrew tongue singing their worship songs. So I got up, started milling around and talking to some of the priests. And here's what I would do. I would ask them. I'd say, could I ask you a religious question? Yes, sir. And I said, well, now, so your hat, and what does this mean? Well, I'm a priest. Okay. Well, then let me ask you this question. So what happens to a Jewish person whenever they die? Are you here? Can you see where I'm going? And they said, oh, we just die and go back to the ground. We were taken out of the ground, and now we go back to the ground, but we really live through our children from one generation to the next generation. Almost like reincarnation, if you understand what I'm saying here. Not exactly that. I said, well, what about heaven and what about hell? We just live on through our children. Are you picking up on this? Now, the Jewish people are not a spiritual people. Body, soul, and spirit. World War I got the land back, the body of land for the people. World War II motivated the people to go back to their land, but they're not a spiritual people. They're materialistic. They want to make money. And so what's going to wake them up so they'll finally be spiritual? Oh, okay, back to Ezekiel 36. Are we there? Amen. We're going to pick up the reading here in verse 25. It says, then when I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Now they're back in their land. When I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now catch this, this is so important. A new heart. By the way, you know, we say, I found the Lord. Is that really right? I think really, biblically, he found us. And so it's the same way back here again. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Finally, by the way, you know how what it's going to take to get them there? It's going to take World War III. Now, could you flip over a couple of chapters, Ezekiel 38? Now, I'm not going there. I don't have time to go there. Actually, I have just about enough time to land the plane here. But let me show you. So if you were to read Ezekiel 38, here's what it'll tell you. It will tell you that Russia, very important, by the way, listen to what I'm saying, Russia and five other countries, Islamic countries, Muslims, will join together. By the way, they've been trading in agreements and pacts for a long time. Will come together. Iran, by the way, who is the mother lode, sending out Hamas, sending out all these terrorist groups to attack Israel, you know, Islamic. So Russia and five other nations, a total of six, that's man's number, will come down and attack Israel. God will supernaturally win that battle. And all of a sudden, catch this, all of a sudden, the Jewish people, in one day, the Bible says, the light will come on. And all of a sudden they'll realize, wait a minute, Russia and these five nations, by the way, the Jewish people believe in the Old Testament, but they don't believe in the New Testament. So Russia and these five nations attacking us? Oh, that's Ezekiel 38. And then they'll say, wait a minute. Our Messiah was supposed to come before Ezekiel 38. Oh, we missed our Messiah. Are you hearing me? And all of a sudden, click. Yeshua, Jesus, was our Messiah, and we crucified him. There'll be a revival that breaks out like something we've never seen. How many of you say this makes sense? Body, soul, spirit. World War I had to happen to get the body. World War II had to get the people back in their land. World War III will finally make them open their spiritual eyes. Wow, isn't that amazing when you see it? Father in heaven, thank you for your great plan. Oh, and thank you for giving us a book of prophecy, a book that tells us what your son said, what's going to happen before it happens, so when you start seeing it happen, you will believe. Now, Lord, help this body of believers right here, assembled together this morning, recognize that you're in charge, you're in control. Help them recognize we are living in the last days, and things might get a little turbulent, but help them to realize that you're in charge, and you've got everything exactly on the timing it's supposed to, and that you want to use us as special ministers in the last days to increase your kingdom. Bless your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.